We're continuing our series, Crossroads. Fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, are they gone? I forgot to do it the first service, and I guess Joe did it, and I wasn't paying attention. And I nag at you about not paying attention. What is up with that? Well, I'm human. We're continuing our series called Real, Relevant, Engaging, Authentic Life. Real. The first week we talked about being relevant fishermen. How that we are to be fishers of men. Last week we talked about engaging influencers. Jesus said that we are salt and we are light. He didn't say we were like salt and light. He says we are salt and light. Today we're going to be talking about authentic witnesses. Authentic witnesses. One thing that I enjoyed about last week's movie, the Apostle Peter and the Last Supper, and I noticed this, and I've been noticing this a whole lot lately, is that what Peter did in that movie was tell his story. And that's so important, and that's what we're talking about, is telling our story. Every one of us has a story. If you have had an encounter with God, you have a story that needs to be told. One thing that we are trying to get away from is the old stereotype of what the church is, where you have a clergy that's hired to do ministry. And we're learning that there's no such thing as clergy. There's only believers. And we're all ministers. We're all called to minister in the realm that we live, in the world that we live in. You know what? It starts at home. It really does. Your children need to know your story. Your children really do need to know your story. It starts at home. It goes to the workplace. It goes into every place that you are. And we're going to find out what witnesses are today. But our story is so important. And I want to say this again. I don't think some of you think I mean business. I am challenging every one of you to write your story. Now, you're not writing it for me. You're writing it for you. A lot of times we get so disconnected from our past that we forget about things that God has done. And when we come to a place in our life, when God calls on us to do something, we think, I don't know what to say. Well, let me tell you, if you'll write your story, when opportunity arises, you'll know what to share. Now, I'm inviting you, if you would like, to share your story with me. As you write it down, give it to me. I'd like to read it. I'd like to know about you more. But you're not writing it for my benefit. You're writing it for your benefit. It will do something to you if you will write your story. I'm going back in about 4 or 5 weeks. I'm going to be sharing, as part of our next series called Real Stories, I'm going to be sharing my story. And I'm going back and reconstructing that story. And it is just really change my outlook about some things. Because I get so, being a pastor, you get so disconnected from all of that we're supposed to be preaching the gospel. But listen, I have a story that includes a God moment. And it really changed my life. And I know I need to be sharing that story. So I challenge you, 100% of you, to write your story. Write it down. Whether you share it with someone or not, you need to write your story, because God wants to use your story. You know, I'll be honest. We like being honest around here. Okay? Sometimes I'm intimidated about sharing my story. Sometimes I'm intimidated about speaking up for the Lord. Does anybody connect with that at all? I mean, you know, you get out there and you get in an environment and all of this is going on around you and there's this opportunity, and if you're not careful, you will be intimidated out of sharing that story. I've had that happen to me several times. And, you know, I'm really ashamed of that. And I know what it's about. It's about fear. And that's something most everybody in this room here today deals with, is fear. I believe, I would say 100% of us in this room today have to deal with fear. And you know, when you're ashamed or you're intimidated, that is fear. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be an instrument for God. You know, it's easy for me, and some of you think you won't connect with this, but it's easy for me to get up and speak to 400 or 500 people. It's easy for me. But sometimes in that group setting, when there's 2 or 3 people sitting around or one-on-one, that's a little bit more intimidating for some reason. And I am, in Jesus' name, I'm going to overcome that. And I think that you need to determine in Jesus' name that you're going to overcome that too. If you have ever been in a situation where the opportunity presented itself for you to share your story, to share the gospel, and you didn't do it, then you need to determine that you will never let that happen in your life again. That's our challenge. So why do we not share our story? And I think there may be several reasons. First of all, if I tell them this, what are they going to think of me? See, it's a fear. It's a fear that we have. What will they think of me? If I have to share and be transparent and they find out certain things about me, what will they think about me? I'm not that anymore, but I was that. And if they knew that I was that, are they going to look down on me? And you know, and that's kind of a legitimate thing. But it's part of your story. Another thing is, I might sound stupid. Have you ever said something and it sounded stupid to you? And you think, duh, I sounded stupid. I've done that lots of times. I've done that right here lots of times. And I'll say something, duh, that was stupid. But I think we do that. I think that's pretty common among all of us, that we don't want to sound stupid. Another thing is, I don't know what to say. And I think that's real. And that's why I'm challenging you to write your story. If you will write your story, you will know what to say. Or you may think, I don't have a very compelling story. Next to Jason Ramsey, I don't even have a story. But you know what? We're not supposed to compare ourselves among ourselves. If you have had a God moment in your life where you came to faith in Christ, you have a story that is very powerful. Now, if your story does not have a God moment in your life, then your story is not yet complete. And that's why we're here. We're here to bring people to faith in Christ. Now, what do you think about when you think about witnessing? Have you ever seen the preacher on the street corner, and he's got his Bible and he's slapping his Bible and he's ranting and he's doing this, and you know, traffic's going by and he's preaching, repent, repent, you know? Or you see people passing out tracts, or you see people holding up signs, and we equate that with witnessing, and we don't really want to do that. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what God tells you to do. But a lot of times we see that and we think that's witnessing. Let me tell you a little story. I cut my teeth. I met Miss Kathy at a coffee house that was started right behind where Abe's Auto and Glass is, in that little building behind that. It was called the Burning Bush Coffee House. And there were several of us teenagers that wound up over there. And we had all come to faith in Christ, and we were full of zeal, and we weren't very smart, but we had a lot of zeal for the Lord. We had had experience with Jesus and had experience with the Holy Spirit, and we were just full of it. And we would go out, And I have taken all kinds of evangelism courses. I hadn't then, but I have taken all kinds of evangelism courses. And there's, you know, evangelism explosion. There's the Roman road. And we learned the Roman road. And we would go out. We would take gospel tracts. And we would go out. And we would stand in front of the Melba and the Landers. Now, it tells you how long ago that's been. When they were the cutting edge places to be. And when those movies would let out at night, we would hand out tracts and we'd say, "Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus." Now that's intimidating. It was. I mean, you're talking about swallowing pride. Some kids that I had gone to school with who knew what I had been like, and I'm telling them that Jesus loves them. We used to march down the street. We'd go down Main Street, and Brother Bob Francis was our leader. And Brother Bob's a wonderful man. He's a great soul winner. And he would say, "Okay," and I want you to help me here. He said, "Give me a J. J. Give me an E. E. Give me an S. S. Give me a U. U. Give me another S. S. What's that spell? Jesus. I can't hear you." And we'd go down Main Street, and, you know, people going up, and we'd be going down through there, like, you know, with our sandals on and our big old crosses hanging around our neck doing Jesus cheers. Now, let me tell you, that's humbling. That's what I cut my teeth on, and we call that witnessing. So a lot of times when we think of witnessing, those are the kind of things that we think about. But what I'm going to talk to you about today is not witnessing, but to be a witness. Okay? I want to read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. This is a very powerful verse of Scripture. "But you will receive power." Everybody say power. Power. "When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." See, the purpose of power is not to do witnessing. The purpose of power is to be a witness. A lot of times we get into a lot of doing when God wants us to be into being. Learning to put on Christ. That's what we talked about last week. Learning how to be salt and light. We are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. And learning how that translates in our everyday life. See, I don't expect you to stand on a corner unless God tells you and thump a Bible and preach. I don't, have you noticed that we don't walk down the street and do Jesus cheers? Now, there was a time that was very effective. When I came to Christ, we were in the middle of what was called the Jesus movement, the Jesus people. Anybody ever read about the Jesus people? They were radical. And that was a radical time. You know, we're not in those kind of times right now. There used to be brush arbor meetings and tent meetings, and those were very effective. I don't know that they're that effective today. Maybe a time will come that we'll go marching down Main Street doing Jesus cheers. But I want to talk to you about being a witness. Not doing witnessing, but being a witness. And we're talking about a lifestyle, not an event. I didn't say that in first service. I want to talk to you about a lifestyle and not an event. And this is what we need to get into our thinking, that what I am is an everyday thing. It's not something that I put on and take off. It's something that I am. And that's one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, is that He empowers us to be witnesses of Christ. You know where it starts? It starts at home. And it goes out from home and it goes throughout all the earth. And we need to learn in the world that we live in to be witnesses. Everywhere I go, I want to be a witness. You know, I don't hang out in the office all the time. You're liable to see me at McDonald's. Are you the McDonald's going guy I ever saw? Yep. I talk to a lot of people at McDonald's. One of the reasons that I work at the Greasy Spoon on Saturday morning, you'll see me down there, is I get to talk to people. I get to influence people. I want to be out where people are. I want to be a witness. And that's what God wants us to do, that the world that we live in, the people that we do business with, the people that we work for, the people that work for us, the people that we shop and know and do banking with, is learning to be a witness, to be salt and light, and to be able, as opportunity arises, to tell our story. See, what is a witness? A witness is a person who clearly communicates something that he or she has experienced. Seen, heard, or experienced. Let me say it again. A witness is someone who clearly communicates something that he has seen, heard, or experienced. That's what a witness is. I was driving into town one day, a few years ago now, and right down here where this intersection is, where you can stay on 167 or you can go the old highway, I was behind this car full of kids. And they turned left, and when they did, they pulled right in front of a pickup truck that had a trailer behind it, and it got T-boned right there. I was the first one on scene, and the little girl that was on the passenger side got glass in her eyes, and she was laying on the medium out there. And so I got down and calmed her down until the police and the ambulance got there. And so I was a witness to what I saw and heard. A few days later, I got a call from the insurance company. Evidently, the young man who was at fault had told the insurance company that it was the other guy's fault, and they were trying to get out of paying the claim or trying to sue somebody. So they called me, and they wanted to know what I saw. They wanted to know what I had witnessed. And I was able to share with them exactly what I had seen and heard and had experienced. I was a witness. If I had not seen, heard, or experienced that, I could not be a witness. Well, I have had an experience with Christ. There are some things in my life that I have heard and I have seen. And you know what I can do? I can be a witness. I can learn to clearly communicate the things that I have seen and heard in my life. I can be a witness. And this is what witnessing or being a witness is all about. Now, there's a couple of scriptures I want us to look at real quick. In Luke chapter 7, John was in prison and he began to wonder if Jesus was really the Messiah or not. And in verse 22, John's disciples had come to Jesus and says, tell us, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And then Jesus said to John's disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is being preached the poor. He says, go tell him what you've witnessed. Go be a witness. Go tell him what you've seen. And then he can make up his mind whether I'm Messiah or not. Now that's good. In the book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 20, there the disciples were arrested for preaching the name of Jesus. And the authorities told them, says, you can no longer preach and teach in his name. And here's what they said in verse 20 of chapter 4. He says, we cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Let me ask you a question. Why have we stopped talking about the things that we have seen and heard? Are we so caught up in our own lives that we forget who we are? See, we're called to be witnesses. We're called to tell the things that we have experienced, seen, and heard. It's not complicated. But many times, we don't do that for fear. Some people say, well, that's not my job. Oh, really? Well, that's why we hire you. No. Really, it's not. See, we have a bad concept of what church is supposed to look like. We have clergy. They're professional. They're hired. They train. They do the work of the ministry. We come or preach to. We support. And we go home. That has crippled the church. What we need to learn is that I am not a clergy. I'm a pastor. But first of all, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I'm a believer before I'm anything else. And I have a responsibility not as a pastor. See, as a pastor, my job is to take care of the flock. As a believer, my responsibility is to be a witness. You may not be a pastor, but you are a believer. And the mandate for those who are believers are to be witnesses of the things that they have seen and heard and experienced. And listen, honestly, if I'm not doing that, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. If I'm not doing that as a believer, then I'm being disobedient to the mandate. So I might as well turn it around and say, if you're not doing that, then you're being disobedient to the mandate. It's not the responsibility of the ministry. It's the responsibility of all believers to be witnesses, to tell their story, to tell their story. Look at your neighbor and say, tell your story. Look at your other neighbor and say, tell your story. See, the most powerful tool that you have as a believer is your story. Because it's unique to you. There's nobody, their story may be similar to yours, but there's nobody who has your story. And there's nobody that can tell your story with more power and authority than you can tell your story. But I'm afraid. I understand. We're all in that boat of being afraid sometimes, of being intimidated. They won't like me. I won't fit in. You may save their life by telling your story. Okay, I want to end this by talking about things that witnesses don't do and things that witnesses do. Okay? So, I want to give you four things as you witness. I'm not saying if you witness, I'm saying as you witness to people, as you tell your story, there are certain things that you do not need to do. Number one is argue. Argue. Have you ever been around anybody that just wants to argue about everything? When I was a young believer, this was in probably 1972, somewhere in that area, I worked for the Old Trip Gas Company. Remember, you know, anybody remember that Old Trip Gas Company? And I worked with the preacher, and his name was J.W. Roach. Probably some of you know who Brother Roach is. He's still around kicking. He's barely kicking, but he's still kicking. Free Will Baptist preacher. He worked there, and I worked there. Well, one day, he and I were talking to this lost guy. And we were witnessing to him, and we were sharing our faith. And all of a sudden, this guy, he said, hey, I want to know something. What do you believe about speaking in tongues? Well, he knew that one of us believed in that and the other one didn't. So immediately, me being full of baloney, I started spouting off what I thought about it. And then, well, J.W., what do you think about it? And he was kind of forced to say what he thought about it. And he said, well, y'all don't agree. No. He created an argument. And after that was over, J.W. stuck his finger in my face. He says, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever fall for that again, because that is a trick. He started an argument and he was under conviction and he got the light off of him and he got us to arguing. I learned a lesson. You do not argue with people that you're witnessing to. Well, what do you think about so-and-so? That's not important right now, but here's something that is important: your eternal destiny. See, because there's all kinds of controversy out there. Our job is to be witnesses, not to argue doctrine and things with people. We're not to argue, we're to be witnesses. Tell your story. Keep bringing them back to the story. Keep bringing them back to the story. Do not argue with people. The second thing that we don't need to do is be judgmental. Can I tell you something about sinners? You know what they do with excellence? You know what sinners do with excellence? They sin. Do you know that? They can't help but sin. You know why dogs bark? You know why dogs bark? Because they're dogs. You can rebuke a dog. You can try to teach him to meow. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to rawr, 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 rawr. He's a dog. He does what he does by nature. You know what? You could take a pig. I love this illustration. You can take a little pig out of the sty, and you can scrub him up, get him clean. You can take cotton and put little things on his ears and on his tail, on his back, and make him look like a poodle. Put a little bow in his hair. You can call him Fido or Boudreaux or whatever you call poodles. Pierre. You put little Pierre down. You know what Pierre's going to do? He's going to run right back to the mud hole. You know why? He is a hog. He's not a poodle. And for us to condemn and judge sinners, and I'm talking about unsaved people, for sinning, that is not witnessing. What we're to share is the good news. Now, is what they're doing wrong? Yes. Will they face judgment someday if something doesn't change? Yes. But let me tell you two people that are not judges: me and thee. We're not called to be judges. We're called to share the story. Only God can change the heart. You do not change people's lives by judging and condemning people. Okay? So we don't argue. We don't judge. Now, that don't mean I compromise. If somebody asks me, do you think so-and-so is wrong? Such and such is wrong? Yes. I can think that something is wrong without condemning the person. Okay? There's lots of things that I know is wrong because the Bible says they are. But the reason that those people do that is because they've got a dark heart. They've got a heart that's alienated from God. And if we can get the good news in them and God changes their heart, guess what? Those things are going to begin to fall off of them, because they will not be that anymore. They'll be set free. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the power of your story. If you've been set free from something, you have a story to tell. Oh, me. The third thing that we can't afford to do is be silent. You can't argue, you can't judge, and you can't be silent. If you have been redeemed, you have a story that needs to be told. To be silent is to not care. And the last thing that you don't need to do as a witness is try to force people. You cannot force people into faith. You can't argue them in. You can't condemn them in. You can't force them in. God does not force people to come to faith. It is a work of God on a heart that draws them. They still have to open up. You cannot force. Now, you can get people to pray a prayer. There are people who will pray a prayer just to get you off their back. I have been in services where there are people sitting on the back row with the white knuckles under conviction. And these bunch of people go and drag them kicking and screaming to the altar to get them saved. And they're trying to force something on them. Has anybody ever been in a service like that before? Folks, that don't work. Whosoever will, let him come. I am not the convictor. That is the Holy Spirit's job. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He draws. Our job, we're going to find out next week, we're going to talk about the life-giving farmer. Our job is to cast the seed. We're not responsible for the result. We're responsible to tell the story. The results are up to him. We don't need to get in the way, but we need to be a part of the process. Now, here's some things that we do need to do as witnesses. Number one, we need to see the opportunity and create the conversation. See, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that he just guides you into places of blessing, and he does that. But that's not what that's talking about. He guides you to people who need to hear your story. I got a story that I've got permission on one side to share, but I don't have permission from the other side to share, that I'm going to share, that happened here last Sunday that was pretty powerful. See, there's opportunities. Sometimes they're natural, sometimes they're supernatural. This one was a supernatural one that happened that brought relief to somebody. See, God directs you in places where there's people who need your witness. They need your story. They need you to be obedient to God. And they're not just going to come jump up in your face and say, hey, witness to me. But you will see the need. And it will be up to you to initiate and engage the conversation, to open the door, to tell your story. If they're resistant, back off. If they're open, share the story. God uses powerful stories to change hearts, because inside of it is the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power of God. And listen, the word of God is the power of God. And when you were reached, when God came to you, it was through the word. It might have been through somebody's story that got to you. And it released the power of God in you. Well, when you share your story, God can release his power in that person's heart. And what they'll see is that, you know what? If there was hope for Paige, then there's hope for me. If there was hope for Jim Busby, and he came through that, and he overcame that, then maybe there's hope for me. You got a story to share. So you have to see the opportunities and create conversation. Number two, go where people are. Go where people are. I don't hang out here all the time. Like I said a while ago, I don't hang out here all the time. I try to be out where people are. You are where people are. If you work in society, you are where people are. Don't shy away from people. Look for the opportunities. Go where people are. I don't just hang around with believers. I hang around with some unbelievers. That's good. You need to, too. Now, you don't get your vital fellowship from them. You get that with the believers. But God brings unbelievers into your life because they need to hear your story. God draws unbelievers into this church because they need what this church can do for them. There have been people who have been born again through these church services, that they've come to Christ and they've been drawn to Christ, and they come and they're looking and they're hungry and they're searching. And when given the opportunity, they respond to the gospel and they come and their hearts are changed. But by and large, we have to go where they're at. Here's the last thing. Be real. Have you been around some Christians, they witness? You know, they talk to you like this right here, and all of a sudden they're getting in their God mode. Well, hallelujah, brother. Let me tell you about God. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's such a turn off. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Keep it real, Charlie. Be who you are. God gave you your purpose. There's nobody like me. I'm one of a kind. I am. I'm one of a kind. God made me like this. I don't like you. Well, talk to God. He made me this way. I want to be who I am. I want to be real. I want to be transparent. I want to be as honest and as open as I can be. I want to be authentic. Because I believe that God can take that and He can use that to touch people. And that's the way we're to witness, to be His witnesses, is by being real and authentic. Amen? Amen. So I want to ask you a question today as we close. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? See, I asked the Holy Spirit as I prepare the message, Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. And I believe that He's spoken to every person here today. I'm not asking you to tell me what the Holy Spirit told you. I'm just asking you to recognize, what did the Holy Spirit say to you today? And number two, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm not going to do anything. Yeah, I understand. God wants us to do something with what He tells us about. When He speaks to us, it's up to us to be obedient or disobedient to His voice. I have had to make some changes in my life. I've had to make some changes in the way that I have viewed some things about who I am and what I'm about. It's easy to get caught up in the culture of the church and forget that I am a believer. It's easy for us to get caught up in the culture of our work and think that I am a workman. No, first of all, you are at your job not to do your job, not to make money for your family, but because you are a believer. You have been given the opportunity and the blessing that you have today, not so that you can take care of your family first. You are put there because you are a believer. There are some of you who have tremendous avenues of blessing that God has brought into your life. Maybe it's through finances. Maybe it's through owning your business or whatever it is. You may be at the low end of the totem pole where you work, but you're not there just to make a living. First of all, you're there because you are a believer. You got to know that. And your first responsibility, other than, you know, you got to do your job, but you're to be salt and light. That don't mean that you neglect your work and preach to everybody. No, that'll get you fired, and it should. It's talking about being an example, being a witness. As opportunities arise, share your story. So what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? And what are you going to do about it? I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. I'm not giving an altar call about this. We have prayer time because there are people here who are facing things that need prayer about certain things in their life. And this is what this is all about. If there's something in the message that spoke to you and you need prayer about that, you can come. But as I begin to pray, don't wait for me to get through praying. You just begin to come. Father God, thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us the word. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you say things in people's hearts that I didn't say. Because you love us and you guide us and you direct us. And I thank you for that today. But Lord God, I ask that you continue to speak to us. And Lord God, you draw us to yourself. Lord, meet the needs of those who come today. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?